Meteorologist Joe Bastardi here, the American Storm. I've got Jeff Byers with me, the voice of everything that's important around here in central Pennsylvania. Jeff?
That's right.
That's exactly.
Hello.
we're media giants, aren't we? I mean, you know, Jeff is on 98.7 The Fox. He's a big morning guy, along with Scott Giese. And I come on and for 15 minutes a week just babble incoherently. You know what
that's
they do?
That's normally my job, so we appreciate the break from my babbling incoherently.
It's a good bathroom break. The American girl's not here yet. She just got out of work. She'll be here. She says she'll be here in a little while, but I never worry about that kind of stuff. Well, let's see. We had an earthquake in New Jersey on Friday, was it?
Yeah. Climate change is really starting to impact all kinds of facets of our life, Joe.
Well, you know what happened was I tweeted that out as soon as it occurred. And, of course, a left-wing, left-leaning Democrat. Now, I don't know. She's a Green Party candidate, came out and said, what do you call it? Earthquakes in New Jersey. Climate change is real. Now, you know, it's interesting, and I think I brought this up on the radio this morning. I guess one could argue, and some professor decided to argue, that all the rain they've gotten has been, mushing the ground up and changing the faults and all this other stuff. But, again, you've got people that are willing to take anything and just lie about it, or I shouldn't use the word lie. They have absolutely no proof, nothing that would indicate that that's the case, but they say it anyway.
Well, Joe, climate change ruined the opportunity for us to witness the eclipse today. Now, we know that, don't we?
Well, there was some clouds around.
Yeah.
Well, wait.
Well,
thanks,
climate change.
Well, hold it a second, Jeff. According to The View, some lady on The View said that the eclipse was being caused by climate change. And she says, look at all these cicadas coming out. I mean, I was watching Laura Ingraham before I came in here. She's right. These people hate America.
Well, I have a question.
They hate our way of life.
What, they may be onto something, because why not just delay the eclipse until tomorrow when we have a much better view forecast? Why would we not just push the eclipse back a day, Joe?
Yeah, you know.
Did we ever think about that?
Yeah. I can see exactly what you're saying with this whole thing. You know, it was the eclipse, not the apocalypse, for one, and for two, in Rhode Island, there is, believe it or not, a coffee syrup called Eclipse.
Ooh.
And their their motto was, "You'll smack your lips when it's eclipse." I used to get that stuff and put it in my milk. Oh my gosh, is that good? I don't know if it's still there, Eclipse Coffee Syrup Company. But of course, the eclipse has come and gone. It was a dramatic event. Now here, it just got dim, and even though it was like 97% here, but
I think it was like 95.46 or something.
Yeah, and you saw how the sky, if it were completely clear, it looked dark. It would have been dark to the northwest like that, and kind of a funky look. I've seen that before.
Did see a couple of women with my favorite T-shirt of the day, which is, "Today is the day that the sun gets mooned." I like that. That was cute.
Well, I'll tell you what. In the old days, if you had an event like this occur, you'd have the comedians going after Marlon Brando or Orson Welles. You know,
yes.
Remember the old, there was an eclipse going on, and they found out there was actually Orson Welles walking in front of the sun. But you can't do that today, because you'll get accused of all sorts of all sorts of things. Well, there's been a lot going on. This lunacy is on the increase in the climate situation. And across the board, I feel bad for my mom and dad, and even me to some extent, because I was out of state tuition from Penn State. My brother was out of state from Delaware, and my mom and dad sacrificed their tail off. And I worked. I mean, when I was at Penn State, I had a radio gig. I had five radio stations that paid me $25 a week, which was a lot of money back then. So it was a network of five for $25. Al Dame. I don't know if you remember the name Al Dame.
Oh, do I?
Okay, so Al Dame had this, and I first got started with Fred Hansberger, Big Fred, who later became famous on KDKA. And what happened was, I'm going to tell this story. I was on Campus Weather Service, and Campus Weather Service was doing RSC here in State College. And these guys liked me so much that they told Campus Weather Service, bug off, we want Bastardi to do this. This was my sophomore year in college, right? And I used to have so much fun. You know, I talked to Wendy Williams in the morning all the time, and Kevin, and those guys were just great guys. And
so there was a time when people liked you.
Yeah, there was a time when people liked me. Although, what happened was you get me going here. Weatherbell, we have Weatherbell. Look, you get on Weatherbell, we have Weatherbell Community and a bunch of stuff now you could look at. But Weatherbell Community, one of the guys asked Grok, which is their AI, what they thought about me. And I was like stunned. It said, Joe Bastardi is a well-respected and very accurate meteorologist, right? And then what I did was I looked at this thing and I'm like, holy cow, my late mother has been passed away for 2 years. How the heck did this get on there? Okay, so then I looked at Kale. I said, Kale Sanders is a well-respected and thing wrestler. So I've been calling Kale my Grok buddy. I don't even think he understands that. But what happened was I tweeted out, I can't believe it. Grok likes me, right? And I put the thing down. I went in and looked a half hour later, and it was changed. It wasn't nearly as complimentary. It started talking about, you know, climate denier, skeptic, and all this other stuff. So I'm trying to figure out if what happens is if people start, you know, yapping off and trolls start going after you or something, if that changes it. But
our AI is Gronk, and all it does is keep requesting another beer and another touchdown dance and another throw from Tom Brady.
I used that the other day. And when I said Gronk likes me, I go, geez, I thought the guy was the tight end. I didn't even know the guy. Anyway, getting back to WRC.
Yeah.
AccuWeather was on MAJ. I was still an undergrad, and they flipped. Todd Jeffers, who was on here, said they fired AccuWeather. He fired Elliot on the air and then brought me on. But what actually happened was WRC went with AccuWeather, and so I flipped around. But it was a very, very different situation from what we have now with the way the forecasts were. And radio was much, much bigger in the 70s. It was king. I think that song, Video Killed the Radio Star, is probably pretty accurate.
Yeah, I think you are absolutely right.
But one of the things I brought up, with the AccuWeather putting out their hurricane forecast, and Phil Klotzbach at Colorado State, he's the heir to the late, great William Gray, who developed these hurricane forecasts. They've come out with 23. Weatherbell had 25 to 30. We put that out there in December, and we're not changing the forecast. And the forecast is just, I mean, the European is just painting the East Coast and the Gulf Coast red. And what's interesting about this is we got two major hurricane droughts going on. One in South Florida, no major hits since 1992 south of West Palm Beach. Right? You go up to Cape Canaveral. There hasn't been a major hurricane hit. And New England. And what I did on Twitter today and at Weatherbell, I showed the seven hurricanes that have hit New England between 38 and 91, and then nothing. And this is an example of things you don't hear. Now, obviously, there's probably some kind of change in the weather pattern that's doing that, right? So that could be like climate change, if you want to call it that.
Wait, but I thought climate change is supposed to make hurricanes worse.
Well, see, that's the point I was going to make. They don't bring up the balancing act that goes on, like the Western Pacific being so far down below normal, and it's the American girl is here, by
Hello.
The way.
Yeah, but
either that or I was doing it. doing a great imitation of it.
Got
so,
you.
So they don't do that. And this is what I was talking about. Again, I got all fired up because we went late tonight, a little bit late. We're recording this a little later. You know, I was watching the monologue with Laura Ingraham, and she's exactly spot on right. I can't think of one thing on the left side of the issue where there isn't some major perspective that's left out, all right, purposely. Or climate change. With climate change, I'm saying, hey, what about all these other things that are going on, right? Yesterday, I got this Dr. Arthur Vitorito, who I've mentioned several times here, is a geologist, and there's another geologist are coming out of the woodwork now supporting this. He sent me what could be the nail in the coffin of the whole CO2 idea. He sent me the graphic of the geothermal, what's called geothermal spreading. What's happening is the increase in input from the ocean has been going up, but it goes up in a step function. What's interesting is there was a surge in 97, boom, super El Nino, right? There was a surge in 2015, boom, super El Nino, okay? So obviously that would make sense if there's an increase in the amount of heat coming into the ocean. If there's a cumulative buildup, it's building up anyway. Then you just jack it up, it has to set it off, right? But what was fascinating was it's directly correlated with the decrease in ice in Antarctica, because Antarctica was at record-breaking high levels about 20 years ago, and has now fallen quite a bit. And when I saw the spreadsheet, they're all of them are lined up: the global temperature, the Antarctic sea ice, the increase in underwater volcanic activity. Now, for those of you on WeatherBell, you've seen this. And on Twitter, I put it on. And what I'm amazed at is, you know, I don't know if I'm shadow banned. I have to be shadow banned because
not on Elon's Twitter.
What?
Not on Elon's Twitter.
Well, I don't understand how something, I could put something like that out and no one says boo about it. Or no one, you know, I'm not searching for likes or anything like that. But
just response.
There's no... There's just complacency about that. So you start looking at, okay, again.
No, but that's what I feel like it is. It's like instead of going on offense and saying, oh, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? I feel like the right wing side of things, viewpoint, is so busy playing defense and like trying to shut down. Like I remember when we were eating with Dr. Willie Soon and he was talking about, like, we need to stop even talking about CO2. Like, I remember him talking about, like, it's almost ridiculous when you bring it up to people like that. But what I'm saying is, like, even if you present something new, the right wing, like, main commentary is, well, it's not CO2. Well, it's not this. It's just fighting whatever the left wing spits
up. It's being
up.
A punching bag.
Well, yeah. Whatever they spit out, it's like, know this, know this, know this. So instead of ever actually going on offense, they're just constantly playing defense.
You take what happened today with now look, I'm going to say I'm pro-life, okay? But I agree with the Donald Trump. You got to win the darn election, right? And what happens is this. With the exception of our senator, John Fetterman, who, God bless him, at least speaks his mind.
That's interesting.
He's not a conservative person, but I'm like, wow, this is good. The guy is going to say what's on his mind. That's all I really care about. And if it comes down to, you know, you see most of the people on the left, they just march in lockstep to whatever they're told. Meanwhile, Trump comes out with what he says, and he's getting hit from the pro-lifers.
Yeah, they get hit from everywhere. If you're on the right and people don't...
And that has to do with the fundamental difference in the left and the right now, in that the right actually thinks about things as individuals and challenges.
Which is bizarre because liberalism definitively is supposed to...
Well, the right are actually the liberals now, from my day.
Liberal thinking. Right. Yeah, which is interesting.
So what happens is... I mean, you know, the thing that people don't know the history of what's going on in Israel, all right?
So you get the same thing. And so, and every week I rant about this. You folks got to, who's ever listening, maybe there's 20 people listening, you've got to understand there's linkage across the board. The reason I'm so fired up about the climate change thing is because of the fact that they came into my house, the climate and weather of my house. But it is the nail in the coffin. They don't like anything about the way this country works. What a slap in the face to my mom and dad. And what I was saying before, I worked my tail off in college. I wrestled. I had two jobs while I was doing it. I was in a demanding major. My mom and dad, you know what my mom and dad used to do? They used to make me carry the bill to the bursar's building, and they didn't put it in an envelope. They said, go pay this, because their son would say, holy smoke, they're working their tails off. And now you got these guys, you got this guy, we're going to forgive student loans. He's just buying votes. And why is...
No, but he doesn't even... They say that every time, too. Like, they don't even carry it through, hardly.
No, they're going to try. He's trying to get around the Supreme. He
really?
Basically thumbs his nose at Congress, thumbs his nose at the Supreme Court. And people turn around and say, the other guy's going to be a dictator and start screaming and yelling. You know, I don't understand this. I had a video. Do you know Donald Trump's policies now are almost identical to Bill Clinton in 1996. Did you know that? I mean, it's amazing how close they are. There's a video of an angry Joe Biden screaming and yelling about how marriage is between a man and a woman and blah, 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 right? And then there's a video of Donald Trump with Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and they're celebrating the fact that Trump gave all this money for minorities on Wall Street. He put their presence on Wall Street. And no one says anything about this stuff. No one holds anyone accountable.
It's
Al Gore, who is the biggest fraud on the face of the planet, along with John Kerry and now his daughter, Vanessa. They're frauds, folks. If you actually ask Al, I saw him the other day. It's a heat-trapping gas. No, it isn't, moron. You know what it is? There's radiative processes that actually enable you to have an argument. Do you understand that that so-called back radiation where the carbon dioxide bands are saturated so they're all excited and they're actually warming up the water vapor around it? That's a that's a fine argument, okay? I give you that argument. I've said it before that if there was nothing else going on, that'd be a beautiful argument, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not like 0.042% of the atmosphere with 1.8 parts per million increase a year is actually going to trap heat on the planet. But he gets away with it every single time. And now we basically have his daughter saying, oh, you're going to have to obey. I mean, I don't understand how the average person does not understand what this is about. And it's a crazy thing because you're almost voting for yourself to be in, I'm going to live in this 15 by 15 cubicle and, take public transportation. You see that on Twitter. You go, well, what's wrong with public transportation? Well, maybe I don't want to get on a subway and have to worry about whether someone's going to jump me or not.
Yeah, isn't the National Guard's like deployed in the New York subways right now or something or whatever. It's like that's going to become more normal and acceptable. It's just crazy how things bleed into everything because like we start talking about weather and then you start talking about climate and then you start talking about because the government they want to overreach like any power you give them they'll absolutely take. So it's like, oh, you need the National Guard in here? Well, maybe you need I don't know. It's you always apologize for like, I'm sorry I'm talking about politics, folks, but it's becoming but it's completely valid and you're not the only one who says that the climate argument quickly becomes anti-human because they've blamed it on CO2, which essentially makes us a parasite to nature instead of a part of nature. So it like very quickly can become like it can become an abortion argument. It's like the same thing as abortion. It's like less life. It can very quickly become population control, less life. And so who gets to regulate all of these things? The people who are vying to get the power, you know? So it really does just
That's all they care about is power.
I know, but why do they care about power? Because it's like, and also, I also think that when I say they, like, okay, who's they, whatever. But I also think that they, when there is chaos, when there is disruption, when there is all of this stuff, that is a win for them.
Yeah.
It's not a win for the right. So the right has a right wing way of thinking, because whenever I say the right, it's like right versus left, when I don't really think it's right versus left anymore. But like, it's a very, like their definition of a win is,
or chaos
is, well, it's much bigger than the right way, right wing way of thinking's definition.
Yeah. We're like the French generals in World War II. That's what's happened to the so-called I'm going to call it American movement. Because you get triggered if you say "Make America Great Again." Hey, listen, you know what? Before Kale came here, we wanted to make Penn State great again in wrestling, right? So I guess that was pretty bad what we were doing there. Great means to me that you're following the principles of the founding fathers in a way where individual freedoms are protected and each person has the chance to elevate themselves based on their abilities and their drive and their competition and that kind of situation. And so what's happened is that is being destroyed. And I'm telling you folks, if there's not a change, and I still have trouble believing that these are actually going to be the two candidates. For some reason, I don't know why.
What do you mean?
That it's Trump versus Biden. Well, actually,
I don't think it's going to be Biden.
If Biden has his way, it's going to be Biden versus no one because he's fighting to keep Kennedy off the ballot. When have you ever seen that in American history, that you have a sitting president's administration's Department of Justice going after his chief political rival? In the meantime, a guy who actually is a Democrat, all right, with the old Democratic Party, and says what's on his mind, RFK, whether you agree with RFK Jr. or not, they're fighting to keep him off the ballot simply because giving people that choice might wrest power from him.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know what? It would not be too surprising if things really got chaotic that no one gets the 270. Well, all right.
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking. Like, it's not been chaotic enough. I just feel like we're in the calm before the storm. Like, yeah. Something has, and I feel like everyone feels that way. It's do you think that it's going to come to be November and we're just going to have like a peaceful, normal election?
No.
Like, do you think so, Jeff?
No,
like, but nothing's happening. Like, I can't even fathom. After the last election, I truly cannot fathom.
I'm not going to say there's going to be a problem with the, people fighting at the election. I don't even believe there's going to be an election. I've said that for 3 years.
For how long, though?
Martial law will get declared, and that'll be that.
Well, okay? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, okay, well, and it's interesting. Yeah. Well, the thing about martial law will be declared is like, okay, that's why it's like, we're starting to see the like military force get involved, like in the subway, simply just to keep the city. That's why I think like they kind of want chaos in the cities. I think they want it to become normal for us to have the National Guard and military involved in our lives. Like,
okay, how about the bird flu coming? It's supposed to be 100 times. Mm. I mean, they're already starting a way to stop
election. People are not willing to give up their freedom.
I do.
No. Maybe the left, maybe a bunch of people who are still wearing masks, but people like you, you're not. You know, people like me.
Yeah, but
I'm not
in the majority.
I think we aren't. I saw a list today.
Every single darn country on the face of the planet has voter ID. Even in Russia, for goodness sakes, they have voter ID. How is it? And what I don't understand about the people who are supposedly being disenfranchised. Do you understand these people are calling you stupid? See what I'm saying? They're saying, oh, you're not smart enough to go just show an ID. And I don't understand how you keep taking that kind of nonsense.
Well, but
I
said it just takes so long to pass common sense laws.
I said in 2022, I'm going to say it again. Okay, let me just, I would be surprised
if there's an election on November 5th. I'm praying to God.
I want to know what you think, Jeff.
No, I think there will be an election. I do think there will be an election, but I do think it's going to be an absolute mess. I mean,
But there's no reason for it to, unless the party, there's a party trying to cause the mess. It's right out of Cloward Piven. If you read Cloward Piven, they don't want consensus. The way to bring down the United States of America is through all that you're seeing now. And so what happens is I get penalized for all the stuff I read when I was younger. You know, like I was always into reading other opinions and this and that. And so I sort of, when I was in my, you know, I was never a hippie, but in, you want to call it rebellious days, I decided I'm going to go read, Rules for Radicals. I'm going to see what Cloward Piven's about and what these people are saying. You know, power to the people, music or education is the weapon of the future, all this stuff. I was like, I look back at that now and say, you were in the process of being brainwashed, all right? And you didn't even know it. I mean, I thought Ronald Reagan was going to blow up the earth. Did you vote with Reagan?
I never had the chance.
Okay, I voted for Jimmy Carter twice. I thought he was a good man. I thought very good man.
He was a good man.
I still say he's a good man.
Yeah.
But I was scared stiff of Ronald Reagan. They were saying every single Republican that has run since Nixon has just been trashed and demonized. And before, you know, okay, they leaned left. Now it's like ridiculous with what I see going on. On The View, climate change is causing this, climate change is causing that. And, you know, there are a lot of people that watch that. There are a lot of people that watch that stuff. And, you know, you get every once in a while, you get someone on that may have a different opinion. All right. And look what the heck happens to them. All right. I'm going to get a little weather here. All right.
Yes. Let's do it.
Again, folks, I want you, you don't have to forgive me. You don't have to listen. You know, what the heck? It was fun just getting together over here. But there's linkage. It's depressing to study the issue. What Corey Ten Boom said, it's distressing to look at the world today, depressing to look within. The only way to find rest is through God. I believe that's what Corey Ten Boom said. I like that name, Corey Ten Boom. There's severe weather breaking out in the southern plains. This storm that's coming across Texas and lifting northeastward, and we're going to get ours Thursday and Thursday night. A lot of wind, 1 to 2 inches of rain, maybe severe thunderstorms all the way up to here. But this looks like the classic situation to produce a tornado outbreak. Now, I keep waiting for these things to go off, and so far they haven't. The only negative for tornadoes with this is there's so much rain that's coming into the southern plains that rain can eliminate the tornadic activity because, you know, you need sun, you need heating up. But, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm looking at this thing going, and I haven't talked to the real severe weather expert in the Bastardi family, who's Garrett. He was completely out of his mind with that stuff. No, he lives down in Texas, so he chases all the time.
Yeah.
Hey, Dad, I'm up here in Okie Muskokie, Oklahoma or something. I go, what the heck you do? That's 6 hours away from your house. And fortunately, he's fortunate in that he's got a wife who is a great athlete, understands competition, so she understands Garrett, right? Because like the same thing with Jess. Jess understands competition, and she understood that I was very, very competitive in the weather, even though I wasn't that competitive in wrestling as witness. But that severe weather moves along the Gulf Coast Wednesday, and then Thursday it's in the southeast up into the eastern part of the United States. And you saw what happened with the flooding last week, right? So we had 4 inches of rain last week. Now, the real big problem may be up over northern New England, because their rivers are bank full and there's snow that's going to melt. I mean, they got crushed with that, we got some flurries around here, but they got crushed over there in northern New England with that storm. So that is a real, real big problem. It's darn cold in the west. Last couple of weeks of April, that may switch around, you know. By the way, Weatherbell has a forecast contest, and I finished almost dead last month.
Well,
right. The first month I came out of the box and I won, right? And so I was just taking, I said, okay. And what happened was this. I thought March would turn colder a week earlier than it did. So what happened was there was an extra week of warmth and a less of cold, and it just, it was abysmal, right? And it was kind of funny because the guy that won, his name was Kent. He's a former National Weather Service meteorologist out of Albany. He had such a great point. He says, persistence, which is just, hey, this has been going on. Don't predict the change until the change actually comes. You're only wrong once. He just absolutely nailed the forecast. Well, anyway, my competitor, I was kidding around. I said, that's it. I'm going to win 36. Now that we have a cash prize.
Oh, boy.
Although I'm not eligible.
Ah.
All right. But I'm just going to go on a tear. But I was looking the other day at the forecast for April.
So they all get to compete with you?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And they get.
And you're not even part of the competition?
Well, no. What happens?
What do you think is better, to beat you at forecasting or to win money for forecasting?
I think.
Probably I don't
even know. No. To win money is better. But what I want to see is.
You're like these people's Kale, though.
Yeah, they all just beat up on Kale. 85 people beat up Kale.
Never mind. Sorry, Kale.
That's about how many it takes.
I actually heard someone introduced me as a wrestling and weather background. I said, it's like the Kale Sanderson of weather, and I'm like, no. I mean, he's in his own different. He's in his own world. So, and I look at this thing and I'm saying, what I'd like to do is sort of be like a pro golfer where, you know, maybe I'll pick off this tournament, that tournament, this tournament, but always be up in the money to see where. And there's nothing like forecast contest. I absolutely love them. I won the Tbilisi of forecast contest, which was Joel Myers's Meteo 432 was the forecast contest. It was bigger than the national. See, the national forecast contest, which Millersville, which is a great school, always used to seem to win, right? But they had these categories that were non-risky, all right? Basically, if you played it in the middle, you had a good chance to be right up there. But in Joel's class, man, it was like 5-day forecast. Yeah, and he had like this. There was a 5-day forecast and a yes or no for snow because snow was so important.
Yeah.
And the way I pulled this contest out was, well, first of all.
Wait, how many people were in the class?
There were about 40.
Okay.
But they were all the top meteorologists in the class. And so what happened was I absolutely nailed the Easter Sunday heat wave of 76. And he comes in and he says, okay, that was just practice. Let's go. And I went way. I got way behind. And then I started making this charge, right? So we get to Monday, a 5-day forecast, last week of spring term, 1976. For Thursday, I had a high of 46, a low of 37, and yes to seeing snow. And I was 7 points behind. I'll never forget him looking at my forecast. He goes, that's a pure insanity. He goes like that. He goes, you've peaked. You know what? Joel Myers would have made a great. In fact, all those guys I work with at AccuWeather, those guys are just really competitive, right? Ultra competitive. And so what happened was, I'll never forget that Thursday afternoon, because we had class from about 11:30 to 1 o'clock every day, and about 12 o'clock, this snow pellet squall comes blasting across, drops the temperature from 44, you know, down to about 30, like that snow pellet thing we had the other day where the temperature just fell like crazy, covered the ground. This is May 19th, for goodness sakes, and it had been 94 degrees a month before. And I still remember going, I can't believe it like that. Oh, he was a fantastic. For every time I see him, it's kind of weird, like I see Dr. Joel Myers and I feel bad for him. And why? Because he was so, I don't think he understood how great that, well, you know, he's such a successful businessman. That gets in the way of how great that organization was. And despite, you know, I didn't leave on the best of terms, I look back at it now and go, oh my God, well, if I'd known what I know now, I would have done a whole bunch of things different. I would have been a sort of kinder in the office because I was a madman. I absolutely did. I walked in there. I go, well, I had a wrestler's attitude in this office. I mean, here comes this hot shot kid comes out of college. He's telling Elliot this or Elliot that, you know. And Elliot, of course, is brilliant. But those guys, I once was lifting in this gym in Cleveland, Ohio, Black's gym on the west side. And when I walked into the gym, it had a sign.
Wait. Through these doors walks the world's strongest men or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And they had all the powerlifting records in the United States. And I once said that, you know, AccuWeather, I once told Joe, you should put that up there. Through these doors walk the world's greatest forecasters, right? Because at that time, man, in the 80s, it was unbelievable. Even guys didn't like me. I'm like, I look at him now and go, man, that guy was really smart, you know. So, all right. Well,
that's cool. I feel like you don't have, not a lot of fields have that intensity anymore.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't even know if meteorology has that intensity. I really don't.
I don't know if it's like, I'm sure it doesn't because I think a lot of.
Well, there are some people that do. Like, you know, the guy.
Yeah, like every once in a while, but like competition is everything. Like, yeah. That's, it's like, what's this one quote? One time. Kale was giving a speech, like, I don't know, that he had this one really cool speech that I got to read, and it said his dad would say, "We didn't come here to win, we came here to compete." Like, that attitude is so cool, and, like, to see it played out in places other than sports, like, it gets played out all the time. Like there's this one show I watch called The Bear. Yeah, you watch The Bear. And it's just like chefs are so competitive. And it's just competition is everything. It's like competing's better than winning, you know, like it's just about.
Well, a lot of times, if you love to compete, you'll generally wind up on top. But
it's just cool how you see it played out in domains that aren't athletic, and it's just like
it's just so weird.
Well, it brings you back to the spirit of the American spirit, you know.
It's good. It's so weird. Remember, you told me that you used to keep your routine scores in practice. Remember, didn't you say you would score? Someone would score you in practice, and you write down what you did, like on the beam or something.
No, you didn't. I just kept track. I kept stats of every. I had a streak of how many routines and skills I'd hit in a row.
Okay, you know what I had? I told you this. I had a chart up, and I had guys I would wrestle every day, and compare like the toughest guy in the room. For instance, my senior year is Dave Becker. Now I wrestle a guy that I was comparable to, and then I wrestle someone I knew I could beat. You know, because just like Becker knew he could beat me, he could practice moves on me. And I wish I had never thrown that chart away. I absolutely could be. Even when I lift, even now, like I get mad when I don't do what I did the day before. So, you know, I guess it's in the blood or whatever. I just hope nobody takes away the American competitive spirit and anything.
You can't take it away. Because it's from God. It's just disappearing in a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be back. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's about tonight's, you know, I haven't seen any comments. The only comments I see is I should tighten it up. And I want you folks to know, every night I come in here, I go, I'm going to tighten this thing up. And I just can't, you know.
Well, we're a 5-hour long podcast. All right.
Who wants to sign off first? Wait a minute, the joke.
Oh, yeah, you need the joke.
Ah, the joke.
I was almost happy I missed the joke, but never mind.
Are you serious? You almost happy?
All
right, this joke is not from Joel Osteen. This is from my Uncle Tony, all right, from years and years and years ago. All right, so there was this guy, and he had a meat market, and he was always ripping his customers off, right? So one day, this guy says, yeah, I'm sick and tired of him ripping people off. He goes, he calls up the meat market. He goes, I'd like to get a rabbit. And he says, okay, well, we'll butcher a rabbit. No. I want you to bring a live rabbit over here, right? And I'll take care of it. Well, anyway, he gives it to the kid, to the delivery boy. And it's a long haul across town, right? And he's got the address in his hand. So he sits down under the tree, puts the rabbit down. The rabbit's no fool. He just takes off, right? Kid's laughing like a hyena over there. And a cop comes walking by. He goes, what's so funny? He goes, You see that darn fool rabbit running away? He doesn't know where he's going. I got the address right here in my hand. Tony, like Tony Spaziano, everybody. God, God rest Uncle Tony.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.